Our gospel reading this morning, as you heard part of the story from Miss Jen, is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' May God continue to bless our understanding of this sacred text. Will you pray with me? O gracious and loving God, may the meditations of all of our hearts and minds and very souls be pleasing unto you this day forevermore. Amen. Well, as Jen so theatrically presented to us, I love these characters that God calls to be his messengers. This camel hair wearing, leather belt waisted, snacker of locust and wild honey. Not exactly the prophet you'd initially recognize as the one preparing the way for Jesus's arrival. But that's who God chose. And the people flocked to him, readily confessing their sins and receiving the baptism of water as a symbol of those very sins being forgiven. John the Baptist, who fulfills Isaiah's prophecy as the one who will cry out in the wilderness to prepare the way for God's arrival. So get ready and prepare the road to be smooth and straight. Smooth and straight. Well, I don't know about you, but my preparations along the road to the arrival of Christ's child is usually anything but smooth and straight. And hearing those expectations turned my Advent anticipation into a little bit of Advent anxiety. Smooth and straight? Really? Well, in Advent pasts, my tree has fallen down more than once. The lights often don't work, or they hold out through the whole season and then malfunction on Christmas Eve. And the one gift that my kiddos really, really want just can't be found. The Christmas cookies burn, and even the recipe that I try and follow to the T just never tastes quite the way it did when my mom made them. Family members sometimes quarrel about who should host which gathering, and the worst of it, I am so often tired during this month-long road to the manger that I fall asleep reading my daily Advent devotion. God, I'm really trying. But the road often feels much more crooked and messy. But somehow I truly believe that Jesus actually expects this season of Advent to be messy. This struck me last week as we gathered around the communion table. You see, the communion table always begins in absolute perfection. We want it to be perfect because guess who's coming to dinner? The very one who invites us to the table in the first place. The diaconate prepares the bread cubes so they're all exactly the same size. The juice is poured into those tiny cups with complete accuracy. The table is set with the beautiful white cloth, gold embossed napkins, and expertly stacked trays of juice. And then, last week, as I presided at the table, I removed the lovely embossed napkin so delicately folded and placed over the bread, and as hard as I try, they always end up in a heap, crumpled on the table rather than delicately refolded. I break the bread and the crumbs fly everywhere over that white linen runner. I pour the juice and a big drop of purple immediately stains the bleached white cloth. And someone takes and eats before we're all ready to partake. And someone almost always drops that little plastic cup on the floor, and we all say a prayer of thanks that it wasn't us this time as it bounces on the linoleum floor beneath our feet. And when the table now looks like a complete mess and that little cup finally stops bouncing, I imagine Jesus smiling from ear to ear, maybe even giggling a bit and saying, "There they are, my beloved children, in all their human imperfection. And isn't that just the most messy, beautiful, holy sight you've ever seen?" So where in the world does that leave us in this season of Advent when we are called to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus? Well, I think it leaves us embracing the messiness that is our lives. And yes, a messiness that may even be heightened in this season of hope. After all, wasn't that what John the Baptist was doing? He was the messenger sent ahead of Jesus to say, "I'll baptize you with water so you know you'll be forgiven. But the one more powerful that is coming will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And that one will not only forgive us, but he'll go even further and proclaim that he loves us, not in spite of, but perhaps because of our very messy lives. It's that love in the midst of the messiness that we're preparing for. And it's that love that gives us our greatest hope. Well, a very wise woman, actually one of you, said to me this week that our theme of waiting and hope is anything but a passive waiting. She said we should be looking for hope, and even helping others find hope. Or as one of my favorite authors, Rachel Held Evans, once said, "Advent is a season of anticipation of holy waiting. It is a waiting characterized not by idleness or even contented peace, but a prophetic yieldedness and active hope." So what does active hope look like? Well, maybe it begins by pausing and reflecting on what preparing for Jesus is really about. For me, that means reading my Advent devotion earlier in the day and making it a priority over how the lights look on my tree. If we're baptized with water and forgiven and baptized in love by the Holy Spirit, then maybe it's the season where we pause and reflect on who needs our forgiveness and love. And maybe waiting in hope means being grateful. I think we rush too quickly from Thanksgiving to Advent as if the season of gratitude is behind us now. What could cause more hope to flourish in our hearts than the daily counting of all that we have to be grateful for? As one author describes it, "Thank God" should be our Advent prayer. Thank God we get to prepare, but Christ gets to do the rest. Thank God we can wait in hope as we trust that Jesus will bring love into the world once more. And for many of us, pursuing hope can actually mean acknowledging that we're just not feeling all that hopeful. Like the messiness of the communion table, Jesus embraces us in our messy hopelessness as well. Being hopeful doesn't have to be about looking for the bright side or deluding ourselves into thinking everything will be just fine. Hope is really just a realistic expectation that something, however big or small, something good will happen. And maybe that something is simply admitting we're not feeling the joy. Maybe what might make us feel a little bit more hopeful is sharing how we're feeling with a trusted confidant who will hold our feelings as tenderly as Mary held that newborn baby. And please know that Rich and Catherine and I are here for you in this season, no matter the condition of your hearts, even in your joys and especially in your concerns. We want to hear from you. Please never hesitate to reach out to us. we would welcome your call or visit. And maybe actively pursuing hope is as simple as taking a deep breath. I'm participating in a Sunday evening Advent series that includes deep breathing. The facilitator, Cole Arthur Riley, began by acknowledging the deep darkness in the world right now, the darkness of war and conflict, the darkness of the longest nights of the year, the darkness of family strife or financial insecurity or whatever is casting a long shadow on your lives right now. But as she led us in deep breathing, she invited us to say this as we breathed in. The world is dim right now. And as we exhaled, but our dreams grow in the dark. How beautiful and hopeful is that? The world is dim right now, and our dreams grow in the dark. We even heard the choir sing that so beautifully. Lord God, who watches over us, sweet dreams will send thee. Sweet dreams will send thee. It is God who ultimately places those hopeful dreams in our minds in the middle of the darkest night. And so, yes, we are called to prepare the way, just as John the Baptist did, for the coming of the one who is more powerful than all of us, the one who points to God and who invites us to wait in hope. But as one UCC minister wrote this week, while we look up and down and all around for any sign of hope, when our situations become so dire that we stop believing in deliverance and restoration, God comes to us, longing to be found, wanting to reveal love's power, waiting to make miracles out of our mighty messes. God comes to us again, and so let us thank God as we get to prepare, but Christ gets to do the rest. Let us thank God that we can wait in hope as we trust that Jesus will bring love into the world once more. May it be so. Amen.